Welcome
to Beer Guys Radio. We're back. We never really left. Like Jesus, only a few more days.
We were down like a week, Brian.
Yeah.
But BGR 2.0, we are here. BGR 2.0. If this is your first episode of the show, if this is your first time listening to us, we've reformatted the show some. We've got, if you're watching the live stream, you'll see we got new graphics and things. And we were previously on the radio, so we had to do a lot of breaks for our radio segment. So bigger, longer, and uncut, Brian.
That's right. Yes.
That's what we've got here. But thanks so much for tuning in to join us today. We greatly appreciate it. I am Tim Dennis. Brian Hewitt, how are you?
I'm doing great. We're going to talk about beers that magically unsour today. We're going to get into people getting arrested for doing beer reviews, cellar beers from the 1930s. If you think my cellar beers are way too old and you really want to hang out for this, Swansea Day and what's going on with that. And maybe we'll even talk to a robot. It's going to be a whole lot of 2.0 show that we're going to get into.
That's a lot of 2.0. It really is. Yeah. Nate, how are you doing?
I'm doing well today. It's a little strange being on the microphone, but I'm still getting used to it and looking forward to BGR 2.0.
Yeah, so previously known as No Mike Nate, and Brian just came up today that he should now be Mo Mike Nate.
Yes,
Mo Mike Nate. So
he, I like the sound of this.
He's, yeah, he stayed behind the mixing board, the laptop and the mixing board most of the time, but we've got him out here front and center with the rest of us now, so it should be a good time. Brian, we had a little fun this week. Went out and did a little partying last weekend. Went to the Georgia Craft Brewers Fest.
We did.
Organized by the Georgia Craft Brewers Guild, showcasing the best of Georgia beer. We did a show there. We recorded a show there. That show will actually be out next week. So this show is going to be launching this weekend. We're in the live stream right now. The podcast will go out on Saturday. Our Georgia Craft Beer Fest show will go out the following Saturday. So it'll be there for you. So we're going to talk about collaborations. We talk malt liquor.
Yes.
Which is just a really great, great subject there. But that was a good time, Brian. What was your favorite beer you had at that festival?
Easily the malt liquor, just because of what it was.
Just because
that was, yeah. That's all I could think about the entire time, though. Yeah, I mean, there was some good stuff. There was a lot of coffee beers there, and I enjoyed the ones I tried. So, the craft malt liquor. Yeah, I ironically or even unironically enjoyed drinking that because it didn't drink like some crazy sweet thing that's going to definitely make you sick later. It drank nicely.
So. It did. Yeah. Fairly tasty. Nate, how about you, man? What was your favorite out there?
I had a mixed berry sour that Cherry Street and Variant teamed up to make that basically kind of tasted like a melted popsicle. It was delicious.
I tried that one as well and really enjoyed that. So, you know, we already got some chiming in here, Nate. They say Mo Mike, Mo Problems. Does that mean you're going to be more of a problem?
I don't know if I could be more of a problem than I already am.
Yeah, that's a good chance. Good chance.
We're working on correcting that ship.
What's that? Working on what?
We're working on correcting that ship.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes there. Also, we do want to give a shout out to our latest Patreon supporter, Billy Joseph Jr. Billy, thank you so much for supporting Beer Guys Radio. We greatly appreciate it. So. Yeah, Beer Fest, Brian, enjoying good times. It was nice out there.
It really was.
It was a good festival. Good festival.
And good weather. It was warm but overcast. So I did wind up looking like I got sun, even though I didn't see really any sun hardly at all the whole time. So
my sunburn got a little bit of a tan when we were out there. So that's the way it worked. But Brian, I think we're going to roll into our beers of the week right now. We want to thank our friends at The Nest for sponsoring this segment. Craft beer, Brian, barbecue in Kennesaw, Georgia. They do trivia events. They do great ribs. We've talked about their wings many, many times. So The Nest, Kennesaw, Georgia, barbecue, craft beer. Go check them out. So this is a little different for us on the beers of the week because we're normally right there in the studio sharing beers. But we've all kind of got our own thing going on today. We may try to synchronize in the future, but on my end, I have from 450 North, I have Gorilla Glue XL, which is conditioned on banana, kiwi, passion fruit, tangerine, and marshmallow. So we'll see. I haven't gotten into that one yet. I just opened up and poured Burley Oaks Blueberry Cobbler Dream. And Brian, did you get a solid answer on the J and Dream?
No, unless it's jujitsu, I think I didn't. I think suspect it's juice.
I think it may be juice. If anybody knows, let us know. But I think that's what that is. But this is a fruited sour ale with lactose conditioned on blueberries, vanilla, cinnamon, and brown sugar. And maybe when I finish the glass, I'll be able to do jujitsu. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. We've also, Brian, I think you've got you a Sierra Nevada Summerfest over there, a little German Pilsner action. I've heard great things about that one.
I really liked this.
I saw on Twitter, a lot of people liked it there, enjoyed it. And I think you said you're digging it as well, right?
I definitely am. Yeah. One of the local brewers turned me on to it. He says, how is not everybody talking about this beer? I'm like, oh, really? It's that good. So I went and tried it. I'm like, it's really that
you're
good.
Like, it's on point. Nice. It is that good. Yeah. It is that good. Gotcha. And Brian, is that Oud Goose in your neck of the woods as well?
That is. Yeah. I found a platinum blend and it was a smaller 375 and those are pricey, but at 375, it was like, okay, well I could pay this for that. Especially
that's the Drafontein Oud Goose gold platinum blend.
I'd never had it. So I'm like, yes, let's try this out.
All right. That sounds good. And Nate, I believe you're drinking here a little local beer, an Elsewhere Guest, a dark Czech lager, correct?
Oh, yeah. Easy drinking, easy sipping.
All right. All right. Good stuff. What a dark Czech lager. How much does the darker malt show through? Do you get that roast character in that one?
Yeah, I get that roast character. I mean, when it's in a glass, it's black. I'm drinking right out of the can. But the drink itself has a nice little hop bite to it, but nothing that overpowers that dark roast malt I really like out of a dark lager.
The Czech dark lagers are so hot in the Atlanta area right now. Like everybody's making them, and I'm not angry about it at all. I like it, but it's everywhere.
Lagers everywhere. Well, my Burley Oak right now, it's a dessert in a glass. And guys, I gotta say this: these taste good, but it's hard to call it a beer. I mean, technically a beer, I guess. But what do you think of these kinds of beers, Brian? These super fruited, super fruited, thick. Like I said, this has got some viscosity to it here.
So the problem with the viscosity, the texture of really thick beers is tough. Like I'm okay with a smoothie in the morning, maybe, or maybe I'll have one. I can't drink. And maybe this is good because they're probably 9,000 calories. I don't think I could drink more than one of them. I like a beer that I could drink multiple of. I love like the lager I'm drinking right now, the citrusy Summerfest. It's easy, aromatic. Yeah, but I don't. That's really kind of no longer a beer at that point. I'm like,
now you're going at the thickness, Brian. But if this was a stout, would you say the same thing?
I think that there's a difference between thickness and pulp. And I think pulp is a lot of what I get out of the fruited stuff. And again, I don't mind a fruit smoothie. I think they're really nice. And hell, they might be really good with like vodka in them or something like that. I don't typically do that. But I like that idea, but I can only have very little of it. To be fair, a big sweet pastry stout, I don't think I could have a lot of that.
It gets a little heavy there as well.
It does get to be a bit much, but that still feels like a beer, whereas the other one feels like a smoothie with some booze in it, you know?
Yeah. Like I said, this is it's tasty. I mean, it's tasty, but I don't know if I'll finish this tall boy over here.
Well, and I think Brewing Project did it well. A while back, I was seeing some of their heavily fruited sours, and they weren't even calling them beers. They were just calling them FMBs, fermented malt beverages.
Probably the right thing to do. One I think about a lot is Cherry Street. I went there and their Orange Dreamsicle beer, which I think it was Push Pop. Is I ordered one and drank it. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's delicious. And then I got to thinking, but it wasn't a beer. It was just it was a melted creamsicle in a glass, or melted Push Pop in a glass. Yes, it was tasty, technically beer, but you know, in the mood for a beer, that's not what I'm grabbing.
Now, and I'm going to be a little hypocritical. I think that those kinds of beers and quotes, I could probably drink more than one of those because the orange, the creamsicle thing, and I shouldn't. The lactose in that is enough to just work me right over something good. But I could drink more than this. The heavy, thick, pulpy fruit beverages with alcohol in them. Those are tough.
Okay. Okay, so it's that, not set in stone then. Your policy isn't set in stone with those kinds of
things. Yeah, yeah. I think the texture really comes into play. If I can taste the fiber from the fruit, if it's going to be good for my digestive system and probiotic in that way, I probably won't be able to drink very much of it.
That makes sense. That makes sense. All right. Well, Brian, we got kind of an interesting story here. We chatted about this a little bit on our Patreon earlier this week, but there was an infection in a beer that unsoured it.
That's right.
What's that about?
Yeah, yeah. So Little Fish Brewing Company out of Athens, Ohio, is recalling sour beers that they bottled and sold in April of last year. In fact, it was April Fool's Day of last year, so people were calling them out on that a little bit. The bottles, they were recalling them because they were sour beers, and they were opening them, and they were becoming unsour, which is weird. They were measuring, like, what's going on here? These are no longer sour beers. They were noticing that the pH was raising from about a 3.2, the really on the acidic end, to up to about a 5.0, which is about what a regular clean beer would be in terms of pH. So like 5 right. to 5.5. So the lab identified the culprit. It's Saccharomyces alkalotolerans as the cause.
Alkalotolerans, I think.
Yes.
I did some Googling on that one. It's a tricky word.
Yes.
And it's a new word.
Indeed. Alkalotolerance, I think, is what we
agreed. Alkalotolerance, I think, is what we
found. I think that's what we agreed on.
Saccharomyces alkalotolerans.
Yeah.
Which is also a Harry Potter spell, for those that...
Yes. And if you say that and wave the right kind of wand over a beer, it will raise the pH and it will no longer be a sour beer. You will turn it to just a regular ale.
Well, how about that? Well, Brian, do we know what Saccharomyces alkalotolerans is?
No. I think we need to seek a research.
Should we ask our robot?
Yes, let's ask a robot.
That's great. You know, with all this AI technology, we decided to get our own robot. ChatBGR is our robot here. And for the tough questions that we just don't know, we're going to ask our robot. Hey, robot. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, thanks for joining us. We got a question for you. Are you ready for our question? All right, good deal. Well, we have some beer news this week that brought up Saccharomyces alkalotolerans, and we don't know what that is. Can you find out for us?
Oh, thanks, robot. That's going to be so useful.
There he said, thanks. Yeah, we appreciate your service here. So, Brian, what does the robot say?
Tim speaks binary better than I do. So it says that Saccharomyces alkalotolerans was a yeast species that was discovered or isolated in soils in Japan in 1993. The interesting thing about it is it tolerates alkaline conditions and has an optimal growth pH in the range of 6.0 to 9.0, which makes a lot of sense that it would raise the pH to be closer to those levels, so it would grow better. It ferments the same kind of sugars as your typical brewer's yeast, the Saccharomyces cerevisiae, but it may be better at some than the brewer's yeast is. I was unclear on that point. So the current uses, it's not typically used in brewing at all anywhere, and we even talked to a brewing friend of ours.
Our friend Stan from Neutral Ground, he said he was unaware of any brewing applications for this.
Yeah, but it has potential applications that they're studying right now in industrial biotechnology, including the production of biofuels and other valuable compounds. It may be a good probiotic for humans to ingest, and it's noted to be antimicrobial. It prohibits or inhibits Staphylococcus, which I think is a bad one, and also E. coli, which I know is a bad one. We definitely don't want any of that. So, yeah, it's an interesting thing, and apparently, I'd be interested to see if more people experiment with fermenting with this form of yeast but perhaps people know about it now a little bit more than they did before.
We should have like kind of a trivia kind of thing, true or false, in the future where we mention different bacterias and that, call it "Can you drink it?" Like, are you going to get horrible digestive? Are you going to get like tumors in your bowels or just a good buzz and a little heartburn? You know,
yeah, we have to work on that question, though. The "can you drink it" really applies to almost anything that's liquid.
The answer to everyone is yes.
So. Yes, but is probably the answer to almost everything.
So, and it will quench your thirst for the rest of your life, one way or the other.
Yeah, so, exactly right.
Well, that's interesting stuff. You know, one thing I found interesting on that is that it can tolerate the acidic conditions and then just eat every sugar left in there to get up to the higher pH there. So it sounds like quite a beast.
It's interesting that, and it makes sense that it would do that, but it's must be producing some sort of something to raise the pH. And I don't know what, I'm not a chemist, so I don't know what it would need to do, but it makes sense that it does. I think it's neat that it does. And I think that that opens up, if people start looking into this potential for some interesting new beers to be made with this.
We need Smalls in here with us because Smalls is a scientist and she may know something about that. She may be able to tell us more about it, but Smalls will be joining us more now that her day job made it a little difficult for her to join in the studio all the time, but being remote, she can just pop in, give us all the science info. And we'll be good to go there. So should be good. Brian,
pop in any moment. We don't even know.
The wheel of beer drama. There's always something going on. We've noticed there's sexism, racism, sellouts, something going on all the time. This week, Founders Brewing, I don't know the exact order of the news, but two big events for them this week. They announced the closure of their Detroit tap room, and they also were accused of a second racial discrimination lawsuit, or they're facing a second racial discrimination lawsuit. But I know you dug into this a little bit more, Brian, so fill us in on what's going on here.
So going by what Founders is saying, and all I can do is just go with what's being reported, supposedly the new racial discrimination complaint was filed like within hours of the announcement.
Okay.
But they'd actually internally made the announcement to their employees before they were aware that it had been filed. And they claim that they only found out the complaint was filed with the U.S. District Court from a journalist who contacted them. Now, who knows if that's true or not? I'm just going with what they say, but within hours. So it's an interesting coincidence that they're closing down the tap room. And they're saying the reason for doing it is it's never fully recovered after the pandemic. So foot traffic is light, sales are light. It's just not performing. It's been open for something like 6 years and it's just not working well. So that's what they say. But I don't think most people are really believing that.
Yeah. And that's, I don't know, man, there's a lot of competition there. I know at one time Founders was like the Michigan brewery. Founders and Bell's. That was it. Founders and Bell's. Founders and Bell's. So
everywhere.
I would have thought that they had a pretty firm foothold there in the area. But we know here from seeing things here that a lot of new kids come on the block and the old guys may not have the same weight that they used to have. So
they're not the flavor of the day, you know, even despite whatever might be going on. Now, do you want to hear what the accusations are? Or
I do. I'd love more information. Fill us in, Brian.
Okay. Because it's not exactly the same thing, but it is some similar kind of stuff.
Similarities there.
Yeah. So it's
To recap really quick, the last one, there was a lot of accusations of this, you know, like lack of promotion, unfair treatment. There was a printer that had a racial name that, you know, that the offended this other employee. And do you remember the outcome of that one? That was settled out of court, wasn't it?
It was mentioned in one of the articles, settled out of court, and they actually paid off a few other people that were involved or felt mistreated or whatever. Okay. And supposedly they set up a whole program of racial sensitivity and whatever at the corporate level. Apparently it did.
All right, and Brian.
My favorite part of the previous story was the guy who was a general manager, I believe, at the time, who said he could not acknowledge what the race of the person was. And I want to say the guy's name was like Brian Tracy was the guy that filed the complaint, I think. And he said, well, I don't know if he's black. I'm like, well, and he was asked, well, is Barack Obama black? Well, I don't know his background.
I don't know.
And that played so
There's
well.
Really no way to know, Brian. It's a mystery.
So the lack of promotion, I think what's being alleged now is this, the person that got, that is filing the complaint said that she was in fact promoted, but it was a part-time management position that was purely for optics. So she was the only black manager, the only manager who worked shifts as a server, and like as a server and was still paid as a server when she worked those shifts and was denied any kind of managerial roles or special focuses that every other manager had. So was not allowed to have that. So kind of title and name only. Also, coworkers, she says, were intentionally mispronouncing her name. And one of the coworkers said that she had, quote, not struggled enough to be black, unquote, which was an interesting thing.
Okay, interesting.
The manager was telling her to make sure her kid did not steal any money when the kid visited, waiting for the childcare. I think that was an issue. And on top of that, there were instances of sexual harassment and retaliatory actions on the part of, I don't know if it was the overall company or if it was just that particular location, but there was retaliation. She lost a lot of hours. They at one point told her she was kind of on the bench or something like that because of complaining about these things. And my understanding is there was another white employee that had quit as a result of the previous racist things and came back and completely agrees with her, completely sides with her, and says he thinks that they pulled a fast one at everybody and he feels like he was tricked. So, yeah. My thought is I don't, so this is bad, but I don't think Founders has even recovered from the last round of racism because of every comment I've seen on social media so far. And I don't know if you guys have seen the same thing. People didn't go back to drinking Founders after the last round of information. Yeah, and I've seen a lot of people say it and they just see the comments are like, well, I was justified or I feel vindicated that I just quit drinking them and never went back. So the year to date, their off premise dollar sales, this is Mahu San Miguel, the entire company, which includes Founders, Avery and Mahu Imports, they declined 10.2%. The dollar sales of Founders All Day IPA declined 9.2%. And in 2021, Founders output declined by 9%. So these are all in the years following it. They have not been doing well. Now, is that all related to this? I don't know. But anecdotally, it looks like people have not forgiven them for the last problem. So this doesn't look good.
Not a good time to stack onto that. And we know that a lot of the big breweries, the well-established breweries, I mean, they're losing market share. They are down, a lot of these old guys, because so many people, Brian, we talked about at the festival last week, and a gentleman came by our booth and he was talking to me, and it's out of date, but we used to keep a list of Georgia breweries on our website that you go to. We had a map and all of that, you know, showing the local love there. And life just kind of got in the way with COVID and everything. It's been a little while since I've updated it. But, you know, he sat down and he said, I found your list and I've been using that. He said, I'm 78 years old. And it's something to do. I'm going to visit every brewery in the state of Georgia. And so far he's up to like 152, but he said, your list really helped me to get started. And I took that list and I added to it. And now we're at, you know, 186 breweries in the state of Georgia. So we've got 186 in the state. We've got all these great breweries that are being distributed here. Like I said, I'm drinking 450 North and Burley Oak this week. And there's just so much choice. And I think people either buying at the bottle shop to try something new, or I have three breweries, maybe within 3 miles of me. And I'm not in the sticks, but I'm out in the suburbs, in the smaller suburbs, you know, but I've got three breweries and plus a few great tap rooms just a few miles from me. You know, it's not that far to go get fresh local beer. So these folks that were relying on them being on 6 out of 12 tap handles at a place, they just can't do it anymore. You know, so yeah, the big boys are the ones that I think are getting hit. Everybody is, but if you had a strong distribution footprint that is now getting local breweries and getting more distro, you're going to hurt. It's going to hit you.
Yeah. And the ones that aren't local, that I think the ones that are going to start eating everybody's lunch or whatever are the ones that have started shipping. And there's a number of them around who do really good beer, and you can ship and get them here. And I may have ordered brewery. Some stuff from the brewery the other night.
I was going to order it, but I'm like, no, I know Brian has less willpower than I do, so I'll just drink his when it gets here.
Yeah. So I may have done that. That's going to be a big thing. But honestly, a lot of, like, you can go to your beer bar and have the fresh local stuff. You can go directly to the brew pub, the tap rooms, and have great beer there. I mean, you know, those are holdovers from days of no options. Now we've got a plethora of options. And I mean, it's fun to revisit those things for nostalgia's sake, like drinking the old school Fat Tire, which I hadn't had in ages. But that's the beer that we had before we had options, you know?
Exactly. Well, that's Billy. Billy here, who's watching us on YouTube, he just chimed in and said he would much rather support the local breweries, and they're making amazing stuff. So, you know, when you've got good stuff right there locally, you can do that. And Brian, I know for us, we've talked about it with what we have here. We've always loved Georgia beer. We've always loved local. Back when we had 35 breweries, we loved Georgia beer, 40 breweries, 50 breweries, whatever. And, you know, we had some pretty good beer here. And, you know, things change. Brewing styles change. Brewing techniques change. Things improve. Creature Comfort's opening was a big turning point for Georgia beer. You know, they brought out Tropicalia. People really perked up to that. A lot of the new kids that came after them gave really good beer. But, you know, when there's a lot of good beer local and good people, I mean, you know, you get to know your neighborhood brewer and all that, and make friends there. So it's nice to support that. And it's definitely going to have impact on those big boys.
Yeah, and Creature Comfort's coming out and releasing the beers that they did. Everybody had to step up their game to be competitive.
Sure, they did. Raise that bar, man. And people met the challenge.
People were chasing the trucks for that. And like, hey, you know what? We want a piece of that action, so we've got to make beer as good. So in some cases, they've succeeded. In some cases, they haven't. But everybody is striving, shooting for the stars there.
They're going for it. Before we move on, I do want to take a moment to thank our awesome sponsor, Truck and Tap. Truck and Tap has been a sponsor of Beer Guys Radio since day one. Before day one, Brian, before you were even a co-host. Truck and Tap's been with the show longer than you have, Brian. So they've always supported us. We went and saw them, visited before they even opened their first location, or maybe right after, before we launched the show, and they're on board with us. So we really appreciate their support. They have grown from that single location near me here in Woodstock, Georgia, to three locations across the North Metro. And also, if you're going to catch a Braves game and you're at the Battery, they have taps at Feast in the Feast Food Hall there. So you can go down there, you can get you some Asian food. They've got pretty much any kind of Asian food you want. You can get your noodles, you get your ramen, you can get some sushi. Go to the bar there, get a nice beer. Or if you're feeling sake, you're feeling a little sake, Brian, they've got sake as well there. So
they've got sake, heavily fruited sakes too.
They do. Like, if that's your, we if did that's your sake game. Bombs
yeah.
there.
Yeah, that's right.
So yes, but good people, good beers, Truck and Tap, three locations across Metro Atlanta, and the taps at Feast at the Battery. Thank you so much for your support of Beer Guys Radio. Brian, big brew time. Home brewing, big brew is this weekend. It's happening. Tell us what the big brew is.
Yeah. If you're listening right now, I think today is the day, but it's never too late to go get the information for it. It's the 26th annual holiday that is established by the American Homebrewers Association. It's always the first Saturday in May. Everybody gets together and they brew the same beer. It's just kind of a big celebration of homebrewing. So the official recipe this year is Nearly Nirvana Pale Ale, which is inspired by Sierra Nevada's Pale Ale. It's a tried and true recipe that was also the recipe of the year back in 2000. So they're dusting off a gem from 23 years ago. It's tried and true. They've been doing it. You know, I guess the guy who created it and initially submitted has made it like 90 times and has tweaked it every time along the way, like adjusting one thing each time. There's a whole long article about it you can read on homebrewerassociation.org. And I recommend you go check that out. You can get the recipe there. You can get some other information about how to brew. And you can find even printable beer labels to put on your beers once you're done with it. And the beer labels and the pictures look really cool. So I would do that. Yeah.
Nate, are you still homebrewing?
Yeah, I'm still homebrewing. I've got a Schwartz beer and lagering right now.
Okay. Doing a little lager. You gonna take a stab at this Nearly Nirvana?
You know, I had a lemon drop pilsner mix on the ticket, but you might have to interrupt that.
Yeah, should give it a shot so we can
see what's up with it there. Yeah, for sure. That, you know, they talk about the label there. We always had fun with that, Brian, making the beer labels. Yeah. And we put out, we were actually a finalist in one of the AHA contest for homebrew labels.
Oh, I'd forgotten about that.
That was always fun. Beer names and beer labels. I think we had as much fun with that as we did brewing beer.
And I still love good beer art on cans or bottles. I love a good beer name, but the can art's great. Which reminds me, I was drinking at Creature Comforts the other night, and their can art just killing it right now. They've got such great can art. And I just can't get over how much I enjoy that still. In even though, like, the beer inside obviously is good, but something about the packaging is still suckers me in. And at least I know it. I think we're all influenced a little bit by the packaging of a beer, but me more so than most, I suppose.
I will say this, and when it comes to beer packaging, Nate, I'll let you go here in just a second. Good packaging draws me in, but I can also be turned off a beer. Like, you know, I definitely do. I've seen some packaging that's awful. I'm like, if that's the most care they can take in their label, I don't trust that the liquid in that can is any good.
And that's a fair point. Yeah.
Nate, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I was going to say the good packaging will definitely draw your eyes to it. And yeah, if it's got good packaging, I'm more likely going to buy it. I'll give it a shot. And if it sucks, then I'm not going to buy it again. But how many times have we seen good packaging, like those OG Monday Night labels that, granted, not the cans, but the bottles that had the paper labels. I mean, those things just, no matter what kind of beer it was, I wanted to have that on my shelf.
Oh yeah. The parchment paper ish looking ones, not the OG ones were before that. They'd had some,
that's true,
okay designs, but I really like that. They had a partnership with a particular artist, and I'm a fan of that. The art that artist did. I don't even remember the artist, honestly.
And you know, it's disappointing when you get a really pretty beer, like the packaging on this, the presentation is great, and then it's just terrible. Yeah. Just like, well,
it almost
wow.
feel like it's worse.
I was deceived. Right, right. Like, if I expected to be a terrible beer, then, you know, so be it. All right, guys, I've opened my Gorilla Glue. I've opened my Gorilla Glue here. I'm going to see what this is about. It looks very orange juicy, but it's got a lot going on here. Let me go back up and see what all I have in this beer, and I'm going to give my 2 cents on it. So this one, my Gorilla Glue XL, is conditioned on bananas, kiwi, passion fruit, tangerine, and marshmallow. You know, I always enjoy a good banana break. You got to have a banana break every now and then. So let's see what I got here. Let's see.
There's always money in the banana beer, right? Or is that how that goes?
That is right. That is the saying. Y'all, this one's really good. I dig this. So in all honesty, I know 450 North gets a lot of... There's the sours there. I mean, I can see this being... This one's nice. It's very tropical. It's very juicy. I dig this more than my dream. The dream was tasty. It was very blueberry cobblery. Got a little cloying at the end. And I think this one is bringing enough acid with it that it's more juicy. Again, the beer is hidden because there's a lot of juice happening here, but got that tangerine all up in my face. Tangerine is there. So,
that's not a
this gets this gets one thumbs up. That's or I guess I can give two thumbs up here, right? So you guys don't have it, so you can't throw any thumbs up. So we'll have to go 2 out of 2 on that.
Like do thumb to the side, they're like NA type of thing, as in not applicable. Right. I guess.
Good, guys. I like that.
So the thing that I always hear about 450 North is how expensive the cans and bottles are. Do you recall what you paid for it?
This one can was $22.50.
No.
$22.50 for a 16-ounce can. No, that's a lie. It was $8.
I was going to say.
Yeah, it was
$8. I know things have gotten expensive, but fruited sours are not yet $22.
It was 8 or 9. It was either like $7.97 or $8.97. I think I saw something before about people seeing 4-packs of these for like $35 or $40 at retail. You know, we're not talking secondary here, so... But I gave $8 or $9 for that one can.
That's not, you know, at this point, that doesn't even seem that crazy. But there was a point in time where people were talking about that.
It seems pretty crazy to me.
Bro. I know. It seems high.
It's a little crazy.
Yeah. There's a lot of
gallon of Sunny D
stuff that's gone up in price.
I could probably get a gallon of Sunny D and like a half pint of you know, rot gut vodka.
It's true,
and,
yes.
And be good.
It's the new
Borg. I could Borg it up over here, man.
Yeah, how much is one of those little cartons of strawberries? A couple bucks? I mean, you can smash those up and throw them in the Sunny D. Yeah.
Right. So yeah, I like that Gorilla Glue XL, 450 North. I dig it. And I think this may be the first 450 North beer I've actually had.
I don't know if I've ever had one. I've seen them on the shelf.
Yeah.
I've always been nervous about them because I can't remember. For a while, there was a whole bunch of stuff on social media about various fruited sours exploding. And mm-hmm. I've seen those sitting on warm shelves. And I'm like, no, not today, Satan. I'm not. I am not buying that grenade off the shelf. Now, if it were in the refrigerated section, maybe, but I don't think I've ever picked one up.
Both of the ones that I got were in the cooler.
Okay.
So I was good to go there. So, yeah, that worked out. You know, Brian, I'm going to have to log these into Untappd, which I don't use a whole lot, but it's a good thing that I'm not in Thailand if I want to check in on Untappd, right?
It is a really, really good thing. So if you like talking about your beers, if you like putting pictures of your beers online, you probably don't want to do that while you're visiting Thailand or living in Thailand, if that's how it works. Because a Thai man recently was fined and sentenced to prison for his craft beer reviews. His exact offense was posting a picture and a review of a craft beer on Facebook back in 2020. That's what he did. And he got fined $150,000, which is about $4,404 US, and he paid an additional $4,404 just for bail. So he was found guilty of violating Thailand's Alcoholic Beverage Control Act, which prohibits, quote, the advertising or displaying directly or indirectly the name or trademark of any alcoholic beverage. The maximum penalty for this, and he didn't get that, is a year in prison and 500,000 bahts, or about $14,660 US. So he notes that in the same court, when he was there, released a drunk driver on bail for just 60,000 baht, which is, you know, a fraction, like less than half of what he paid on bail.
Right.
So it's really strange. I think this is, I spent a little time in Southeast Asia. I think the idea is there's a little bit of a payoff going on here, because part of the law, the government officials reportedly receive 15 to 30,000 baht, which is about $800 plus to $900. They get that per fine that they issue, and typically people pay off an initial 50,000 baht fine, which is much cheaper, and just move on with their lives. This guy plans to appeal this whole thing. He didn't pay the initial kind of, I'm going to say, kind of bribey sounding fine.
Okay, gotcha.
Because he really wants to get the law removed. He wants to get this completely overturned and removed, and he's apparently spoken to some politicians in Thailand who agree with him, who think this is kind of draconian and it should not be a thing. So hopefully in talking about this, I won't be arrested the next time I go to Thailand. Not that I'm planning to do it soon, but
you could be.
I mean, who knows? Anything is possible. So,
well, that's just crazy, man. I mean, just for posting this, and did this case start back in 2020, or did they find this recently and go after him?
I guess it started in 2020 and he took it to court, and that's when he got this fine. He didn't get the maximum, though, which I'm kind of surprised, because when you fight the system, I think a lot of places don't
like
take
to go at
that.
You, right?
Yeah.
So he's going to appeal. So he's going to be fighting this for a while. I get the sense that this particular fellow has the means financially to weather this, but he had a sentence. I think it was a 6-month sentence that I think was what's the term, like commuted or delayed?
Commuted
or deferred?
Sentence. Yeah.
Okay. Deferred for like 2 years, and I don't know what that means, if he has to do it in 2 years or if it's considered done after 2 years. I don't know how that works, because I've never actually gone to jail or been sentenced to anything.
Never
like
had
that.
To deal with that, huh?
Gotcha. Yeah. But don't mess around in Thailand. Don't they're also very strict on drugs, as I recall. Very, very strict on drugs. And
like death penalty for that kind of thing, right?
Like the death penalty. Yeah. They're not messing around. I think Southeast Asia is particularly hard on these things. And I know that when I was in Malaysia, there is a sin tax. It's pretty heavy on alcohol. So it's adjusted considerably. It's like a 100 or 200% tax on it or something like that.
Wow.
So,
okay.
Yeah. It took at the time I was there, the beer was not quite the same price as it would be in the US with the conversion, but really close. So it pretty much put it out of the pricing for most people that weren't well-to-do, basically.
Because generally things there are cheaper, but because of that tax, it was bringing beer up to like the price it would be in the U.S. Is that right?
Exactly right. Yeah, yeah. Gotcha. At that point in time, maybe a pint was three or some odd dollars. And if you did the conversion, it was like $2.50 or something like that in Southeast Asia. So you burn through your cash on alcohol much faster than anything else. But I got to tell you, those places were still packed and people were still partying. So
bunch of expats.
A lot of expats.
Yeah, that figures. That figures.
Indeed.
Brian, continuing the international theme, big news today from Belgium, or not today, but recently. Recently, Zwanzee Day. They had the recent not happening in 2023. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. I think you pass this along to me, but it's going to occur every other year now instead of annually. And it's basically a result of difficulties managing their regular seasonal work on top of the massive increase in orders for Zwanzee Day, which is made worse by logistical issues caused by climate change, which has meant that the temperatures are rising earlier, grape harvests are beginning earlier, and it's conflicting with their work. And so they're unable to do everything that they need to do each year to accommodate it. It's becoming very difficult. So it's just kind of like, hey, we just have to do this every other year. So if you're looking forward to Zwanzee Day 2023, it's in spring of 2024.
Crazy stuff. So
I'm ignorant. I don't know what Zwanzee Day even is.
That's the they make the special beer for it. What is the background of that? Do you remember what that is beyond just the special beer?
No,
special
this is your holiday? News story. Do we have to go back to the robot?
So. I mean, we may have to. I didn't look into that.
Yeah, I know. So, I've been you to know what? Zwanzee Let Day. Me give you the understanding of what it is from my point of view, that it is a once a year celebration. They make a special beer for it. And they normally what they had done with it is to go to various beer bars around the world and have Zwanzee Day. And it was you had to find a bar because very few places had it. We didn't have it for a lot of years because we didn't get Canty on here because of the Shelton Brothers thing. But I mean, just off the top of my head, Zwanzee Day is an annual beer event organized by the Brasserie Cantillon. This is a famous brewery in Brussels, Belgium.
So famous, Tim.
And just from what I can remember, the event is usually held on the last Saturday of September, and it celebrates the release of a special limited edition beer called the Zwanzee beer. Let's see if I recall correctly. During Zwanzee Day, Cantillon releases a new and unique version of Zwanzee beer, which is typically brewed using unconventional ingredients and techniques. The beer is only available on this day, Nate, and it is served in a limited number of bars and pubs around the world that have been selected by the brewery. I think that Zwanzee Day is not only a celebration of beer, but also a celebration of the traditional brewing techniques and culture of Belgium. The event brings together beer enthusiasts from around the world, Nate, who come to taste the Zwanzee beer and to enjoy the festive atmosphere. Many of the participating bars and pubs organize their own events and activities to complement the Zwanzee beer release, making it a truly unique and memorable experience.
So you can say, you can tell Tim was thinking really hard on the memory thing because his eyes were all the way over. Like when I know this from science, like if you look in a certain direction, you're trying to remember things, and Tim's eyes were like straight off on one side.
So much thinking.
Yeah. So much remembering and thinking.
Yeah. But you know what, Nate, it's a fun time, man, because everybody out there, people are passionate about, you know, those kind of beers. It's not an inexpensive beer. So when you go to the pub, Brick Store had it here, Porter. That Porter and Brick Store, I think Porter had it 2 years in a row.
Yes.
And then Brick Store got it here in the Atlanta area. You know, it's packed out with beer nerds. So
did Brick Store get it after the Porter shut down when it did?
I don't think so. I think Porter was still open at the time. But yeah, okay. It was 2 years of the Porter, 1 year at the Brick Store there. And I think I made one Porter and one Brick Store. I did miss one though, or two.
I think I made it to just one. It was the one at the Porter. And, you know, it was a good time. It was, you know, what was fun about that is seeing all the people, everybody having a great time, a great you know, a crowd. We don't see a lot, and I think we haven't seen this much since the pandemic, but just a good crowd of people.
Yeah.
Of course, we were just at a festival, so we kind of did, but at events at bars and in breweries, you don't see that as often as you once did. So when you do see it, it's a lot of fun.
Well, Brian, like you and I were talking about, I'd love to hear others' thoughts on this. You know, drop us an email, a tweet, or if you're in the chat in the live stream now, let us know your thoughts. But we were talking to the Beer Fest last weekend, Brian, that going to breweries isn't as much fun as it used to be. And I'm not knocking breweries in that, absolutely not. But it used to be an event, you know, it was a big thing. You didn't have as many breweries. It was something special in that. And now it's just like, just drop in, man. Just go to the brewery anytime you want. Not that it isn't great, but it was a lot more like getting, you know, going out for recess at school or something. It was just more of an event. What do you think, Brian? Would you agree with that?
Oh, I absolutely would, because I think back immediately on the times when Burnt Hickory would have one event where it was open to the public once every month. And so, yes, that's a very big special stuff, thing,
right?
Yeah, because you could only do it once a month. And then they brought out whatever beers they brought out. And they were one of the few games in town. And they were the only one at the time that I think of that was really doing super experimental off the wall stuff that we'd never seen before. Now, like a lot of people have done super experimental off the wall stuff, and they're open all the time. But that was, it was rare. So it was special.
Right.
It's the same thing you have with the big, crazy, highly sought after beers. The minute they start sitting on the shelf for more than a week, suddenly it's a shelf turd and nobody's interested. It's no longer special. It's still a really good beer. It, like, if it were harder to find, you would buy it in a second. But now that's easy to find, you don't buy it at all.
I don't want it anymore.
It's like
so persnickety. That's crazy. You know, talking about Burnt Hickory, Brian, when we first started going there, the small tap room and that, and the groups would be like 20 people. And the only way you could get some of those special beers was at the end of a brewery tour. They'd break out a bomber and pour for the people in the tour. And this was back when Will Avery was brewing there. And we would go on a tour and try whatever special beer it happened to be. And then the next tour, an hour later, we'd go and he's like, "Are you guys really back here again?" We're like, "Yep, we're here for the tour, man. We're here for the tour.
We're getting our second 2 ounce pour.
Let's check it out, man." Nate, what do you think? How fun are breweries?
You know, to me, breweries are fun because they are my go-to bar. You know, I go there. I'd rather go there instead of hitting up just like a generic pub. Where I live, I only have one brewery in the area, but I'm fortunate I've got a Stout Brothers. And, you know, a dedicated beer bar to me is as fun as going to a brewery. More fun because there's more variety.
Okay. All right. So are they just as fun as they'd ever been? More fun or less fun for you?
I would say they are just as much or less fun.
Just as much or less. Okay. Nate's being picky with these words here. He's talking about, "Oh, I love a good brewery because it's a bar, but a beer bar is better and it's just as much or less."
I'm working on a formula.
He's going to be a politician.
I'm over here trying to solve for X.
Where's that robot?
Yeah, where's the robot? Make this make sense, robot. It's
yes.
Like, I'm running for president in a couple of years.
President Nate. Good stuff. Brian, what else you got for us, man? Anything else? You know what? I don't think we can skip this one because it's fun. The news has been out maybe a couple weeks, but it's just fun news, Brian. So, and keeping it international, staying in Europe there. In the UK, there's an 86-year-old beer that they have, Coronation Ale. And Brian, this beer was brewed for the coronation of Edward the VIII, but it was never released because he abdicated. So there was never a coronation there. So
he ran off with an American divorcee.
Floozy.
He decided, I'm like, you know what? I don't want to be king. I want to be with this American woman. So I'm just going to run away. And so he did. Like he turned down the running an entire nation to, you know what? That must be true love. That's all I can say. He turned down running the entire nation for a woman. So, hey, right. She must have been a heck of a woman.
But the beer is not going to go to waste, Brian, right?
No, it is not. So they discovered this beer 75 years later. So 1937, 75 years later, in 2011, in the cellars of Green King Brewery in the UK, they found several crates of it. The proceeds, they're going to put it up for auction. The proceeds of the sale will go to the Prince's Trust charity. And I think by the time we're hearing this, because I believe the coronation for Prince Charles is, or King Charles or whatever, I don't know how that works. That's happening around the time we're doing this, or by the time this is recorded. I believe these bottles will already have gone up for auction, so we don't know. But those proceeds will go to charity, and that supports the people from disadvantaged communities. I looked at the pictures of the bottles. They're not super fancy. They're just dusty, unlabeled, waxed to 750s is what they look like.
Okay.
And my question is, would you guys drink it? Would you guys drink? It's an 86-year-old beer.
Yeah, absolutely. No questions asked. Not even Nate. No question. It's not. Yeah,
I would. No questions asked. No,
that's an easy one. 86-year-old beer. It's in wax dip 750s. Yeah, give me a pour.
Now here's the thing. This may change it. The coronation ale that was brewed then was 12%. Does that change your opinion, Nate? Is 12% beer?
12% makes me think that it's got more legs to stand on. I had a 30-year-old champagne once that was not great at all, and I know 30 is not 86, but an 86 at 12. Maybe it'll hold up.
Yeah, a 30-year-old champagne isn't really insanely old there. So that could have had a lot to do with the champagne, the cellaring, all of that stuff. True. So, and these, I guess they've been stored the whole time, right? They've been in a brewer's cellar.
Yeah. I would assume that the ideal cellaring temperatures, it's at a brewery.
You want to do a case split on those, Brian?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, how much could it be? A couple hundred bucks, maybe? Yeah,
couldn't be that
expensive. So anyway, Green King, the brewery that made this originally, they came out with a 2023 coronation ale because there's another coronation. It's only going to be 4%, so don't look for that in 86 years. It won't be great. But in the story, Green King, apparently, because they've been around for 200 years, they say that there may be more other rare gems in their cellar that may show up sometime in the future. So
that'd be cool. That'd be cool. Keep an eye out for them. Maybe some of them won't be as rare as a coronation ale, so maybe we could get some on there. Brian, we do have some thoughts from the chat here on that. So talking about the breweries, whether they're more fun or not there. Billy says he thinks the same thing. Brewers are great and the beer is great and it feels like going to hang out with friends. So he says he likes it more now that there are more of them. So that's a good take. More of them, go hang out with your friends. And Amanda, thanks for stopping in. Amanda says, hey.
Yeah,
so
hey.
Thanks so much for dropping in. And yes, we will come see it from the earth, and we would be more than happy to share your Pliny the Younger.
Yeah, exactly. We'll be right there.
We're more
than
happy to do our duty for you to have someone to share the beer with. So we can do that. Awesome. Well, y'all, I think, Brian, you got something to add there? You look like you had a little something to say.
I do like the wider availability of tap rooms, because I still like to go there as kind of my default place, but I don't know where else to go. And now in almost any town you go to, you can find a tap room to hang out in. And ideally, I like them to have a little bit of food too, because, well, I'm going to be there for a little while. And I do like that about them. Are they as special as they once were? Maybe not. Depends on the place.
I could see that.
But the availability, the convenience, I do like that a great deal. Yeah,
I can't argue with that, man. I still love going there, grabbing a bite to eat and a few beers. Go down to Halfway Crooks, get some, some Belgian fries, watch a little dog show or sheep wrangling on the TV upstairs, and have some lagers.
Little hand pies, too. Those were really good.
Heck yeah. Be a good time. Awesome, y'all. Well, we appreciate you joining us for the first episode of BGR 2.0, which I think is like the 345th episode of Beer Guys Radio. We're going to keep adding stuff. We're going to keep fine tuning. A lot of work went into launching this one, but we'll continue adding stuff. We would absolutely love to hear from you what you'd like to hear on the show. We're going to continue to share news. We'll have some topical shows coming up. We're going to do a lager deep dive soon, get some awesome lager brewers on here and go through all that goes into brewing lagers. We can get into that stuff a little bit more, but we've got some big things planned. Again, let us know what you would like to hear on the show. We'd be happy to do our best to accommodate what the folks want to hear, man. That's what we're here for. Have a good time, and we can talk about anything. If it's a beer topic, we can talk about it. But for more craft beer info, follow us online. We're Beer Guys Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great week, and don't forget to drink local. Cheers.